I just want to thank all of you who have asked about my vacation. I just wanted to show you a picture from it. Actually, this is a picture from the porch of a cabin that we were staying at. It was raining cats and dogs that day, and so we just sat there and read underneath the porch and watched it rain for most of the day. But it was a relaxing and refreshing day there by the Shenandoah River. And that picture came to my mind as I thought about Psalm 1, where the psalmist says that the person who meditates on God's word is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. You and I live in a world that is just filled with stress. Something that we just heard from 1 Peter chapter 2 reminds me of that stress, where Peter says, "Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." Think of all those kind of sins have brought stress into your life. Just this morning, I received a text that just filled me with a sense of stress because of malice and deceit and envy and slander. And the power of that sin is able to just destroy any sense of rest and peace very quickly. It's no wonder that the Apostle Peter, writing to Christians just like us, who said, these are things that you're going to have to put away, and how do you do that? You fill yourself with the pure spiritual milk of God's word. And so, over these next 4 weeks, we want to find rest from the stress that sin brings into our lives by studying four different psalms. And it's not just what we want to do here in worship, it's what we want to do in worship is lay the groundwork that every one of us here is every day drinking from that pure spiritual milk of God's word, that we are laying the groundwork for daily use of God's word in every one of our lives. Now, last week, as we wrapped up the last message series, we talked about how do we find time to do that, and that's where I'd like to start. Our message outline is on the back inside cover of the worship folder. I'd ask you to turn there. And just remember that last week, if you were here, I used this Eisenhower principle diagram just to remind us that the relationship with God, if we are going to find rest from the stress that sin and death brings into our lives, we have to focus on that top right-hand quadrant. We have to focus on what is not urgent. We probably won't lose our faith if we miss using God's word a day or a week or even a month. It's not urgent, but it is vitally important because this is the only place where we are going to find rest for our souls. So before we even talk about how to study God's word, I just want to remind us that you and I have to make a commitment to find the time for what is not urgent, but what is important. And I want to ask you to fill in two blanks on that worship folder. What's the time in your day that you are going to devote to what is not urgent, but what is important? What part of the day? And what's the place? And many of you, I know by God's grace, already have just a marvelous spiritual life where you're drinking from that pure spiritual milk every day. But I guarantee you, there are people in your lives that are not that way, and there are brothers and sisters in Christ present here. So if you can answer that question, time and place, because that's what you do, then I'd ask you to spend the next few moments while everybody else fills in that blank, praying for everybody else. So has everybody got a pen? If we don't set the time, if you don't put it on your calendar, it's not going to happen, right? So when are you going to drink that pure spiritual milk? When are you going to go down by the river and be refreshed? What time tomorrow? Write the time. And then where? In your home? What room in your home? In the car? Where? If you write the time and the place, you're more likely to follow through. But of course, none of us have the time, because activity is kind of like gas. You know, I remember from my chemistry days that gas will expand to fill whatever space you give it. And the activities of our day will expand to fill every moment of our day. So there is no extra time to devote to what is not urgent but important. And so, of course, the next question is, what are you going to give up? What are those things that are not urgent and not important that you just like to do? Or what are those things that seem to be urgent, but really they are not that important? What are you not going to do so that you have that time? And then maybe my last question, if you are not in a pattern where you are drinking from that pure spiritual milk every day, the most important question is, who? See the little owl up in the corner? Who is gonna ask you, have you had your milk today? Who are you going to say, you know what, I want you to ask, don't be afraid. At the ministry board meeting on Thursday night, a young man that I hold in a high regard said, you know, I struggle to make that time every day. And I just said, hey, can I ask you, how's it going? And he said, sure, and I'll be his who. We're much more likely to do what is not urgent but important if somebody's going to ask us, how's it going? So who's the who that you're going to ask? We'll ask you, how's it going? Are you using that word of God every day? Because that's what the psalmist talks about in Psalm 1, that the person who meditates on God's word day and night is blessed. So I pray that you and I have made that commitment. The time, the place, what we're going to give up, and the who. By the way, if you filled in those blanks, please don't turn in your worship folder. It'll be really embarrassing to the next people in the service. Right? And now I'd like to talk about, you know, what our focus is for the next 4 weeks. It's a tool that we can use to get more out of God's word. It's called Luther's Garland of Four Strands. It's something that he wrote for his barber, Peter, in a little pamphlet called A Simple Way to Pray. And he was explaining to his barber how he prayed through the catechism, how he would use the catechism every day. But the garland of four strands that Luther talked about for the catechism fits also with our use of God's word. I have this quote printed in our worship folder. He says, I divide each commandment into four parts, thereby fashioning a garland of four strands. That is, I think of each commandment as first instruction, which is really what it is intended to be, and consider what the Lord God demands of me so earnestly. Secondly, I turn it into a thanksgiving. Third, a confession. And fourth, a prayer. So over the next 4 weeks, we're just going to practice this as one way to help you get more out of that spiritual milk that God is inviting us to drink, that we might find rest in the midst of our stress. And it might be most helpful if you would look at each one of those four words and put it in your own words. Write a question. You see, when you open up the Bible, you're saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." But you'll listen better if you are asking questions of the Lord who is speaking to you in that word. So what are the questions that you are going to ask so that you understand what God is instructing you? What question will you ask so that it invokes thanksgiving? What question will you ask of yourself that it leads to confession? And then what do you want to respond back to God in prayer? What question are you going to ask so that you have some prayer thoughts as you speak back to God? Now I'm going to do something that's really uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for you, but let me tell you, it's going to be even more uncomfortable for me. I'm going to be quiet for the next minute while you write your questions, your own personal questions, so that you can work through the garland of four strands. I'll give you a minute. Write a questions in on those lines. Put Luther's four strands into your own words. Questions might be the best. 1 minute. Whew, that was hard. They have some questions. You can work on them more at home. Here are the questions that I thought of as I just worked my way through. As I think of, what does God want me to teach? What are you teaching me, God? What am I learning? What am I reminded of? Very often when you read the Bible, it's not, "Oh, I've never thought of this before." It's, "I'm being reminded of something." So what am I learning? What am I being reminded of? You can copy my questions if you'd like. Thanksgiving, what has God given me? What promise is God giving me? Because when you think about Thanksgiving, it's especially not only what God has given, but what he promises to give to us that leads us to give thanks to him. Confession, what do I need to admit to God? How have I misused his gift to me? And then prayer, what do I want to talk to God about? What do I want to ask for? You know, if he's given me a promise, you know, do I want to ask for something in connection with that promise? Now, as we work our way through the scriptures using something like this garland of four strands, there is another issue that I want to bring out. On the back of the worship folder, or on the inside back cover, it asks, "If I am constantly looking for reasons to thank God and reasons to confess to him, what two teachings of the Bible will I constantly learn and recognize?" And obviously the answers are law and gospel. As you read God's word, ask yourselves always, what do I have to confess Because as you read God's word, there are always going to be things that will make you feel guilty. And guilt isn't bad in the sense that I need to understand my sin. That's one of the reasons why we want to have a daily conversation with God, is we need God to remind us and humble us before him. And so as he speaks to us, if we take that word of God seriously, it will convict us. So what do I have to confess? And then there's going to be gospel there. If I see that my sins are there, how am I reminded that God in his grace has given me the promise of forgiveness in his son Jesus? That his blood washes my sins away. So that there is a, this is my primary reason every time I talk with God, to give thanks back to him. Because even though I am guilty, I have a right to stand in his presence and talk to him because he's forgiven me. Just as the cross is front and center in our church, let this law and gospel be front and center as we read God's word. How many of you felt uncomfortable at being silent for about a minute? Anybody? You must like that better than me. Good for you. Because I want to do it a little bit more. I want to practice right here. So let's read together Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, and let's just practice. We'll read it, and then I'll give you 2 minutes to answer your questions, or to find answers to your questions based on Psalm 1. 1 and 2. Let's read it together. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So that passage is on the back of the worship folder. You can read it there. And I'm going to go back to my questions, if that will help you. And I'm going to be quiet for 2 minutes while you meditate. Meditate is the idea that I'm kind of chewing on this passage. So let's just chew on this passage and ask ourselves some questions to get as much out of it as we possibly can. 2 minutes. just ask if you could share some of the answers that you have. First of all, for instruction, as you read over these two passages, what did you learn or what were you reminded of? Anyone want to share an answer? Big group. Thank you, Linda. Dig deeper into God's word to give stronger, more biblical answers. Good. Anybody else? There is no right or wrong answer here, by the way, right? David?
There's such a stark contrast between the one who does walk in the way of the Lord and the one who doesn't. The contrast is so glaring.
Thanksgiving. What do you want to give thanks to God? As you read over this passage, what causes you to give thanks? Sure.
Be thankful for the faith they have given me and everything else that I know.
All right. Thankful for my faith and everything that he's given me. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah, his word is a marvelous gift that he has given us to meditate on, that we might take for granted if we aren't reminded of this. Confession. What do I want to say? God, I'm sorry because... Well, I'll make that... Okay. All right, I find myself in that seat of mockers and, sometimes I'm there. Any other confession? Ryan.
Trees.
Okay. Not quite following that yet, but that's okay. We'll talk about it later on. Thank you. There's somebody else, right? Yes. Yeah, I love this passage because it says, you're blessed if I meditate on it day and night, and I go, ooh, I don't have, am I always making time for that word of God? And, by the way, one of the things that I was going to mention when we talked about law and gospel is in that psalm, it talks about my delight is in the law of the Lord. And law, very often in the Old Testament especially, is just a word for teaching, the teaching that God gives us, which would include both the conviction of sin, the law that we usually think of, but also the gospel, the promise of God's incredible grace in Christ, that the Savior was coming. So all of that would be considered in the Torah, the teaching of the Lord. And so, as we want to talk back to God, what do I want to talk to him about?
I just said, help me, Lord, to stay steadfast and follow you.
Help me, Lord, to stay steadfast.
I need help.
Amen to that. I had helped me believe that you delight in me. You want me to delight in your word? And very often I have to say I don't particularly delight in his word. I don't always make the time for it. And I need to be reminded that he delights in me in spite of my sin. All right, let's read Psalm 1 through 3 through 6 together. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. You notice there's more blanks there. You know when you fill in those blanks? After you go home. And you meditate on those passages yourself. That we might find rest in the midst of the stress that sin brings into our lives. And it's with that thought in mind that I'd like to encourage you, as you think about this garland of four strands, to make use of the tools that are available to us today. There are so many different Bible reading plans. I put another Bible reading plan out in the Narthex, in the Welcome Center. There are probably hundreds or thousands of them out there on the internet. If you have a smartphone or a tablet, I would encourage you to download either one of these Bible apps. They have daily devotions that just appear on your phone that you make time to meditate on God's Word. Just this past week, I found out that there's a brand new app created by the same church that made YouVersion. It's called Bible Lens. And it's kind of a fun way to get into God's Word. It looks into the pictures on your phone and attaches Bible passages to it, which is kind of fun. So here I am with my grandkids. We're enjoying our first harvest of green peppers. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him, or I especially like this one. There's that turkey that's in the driveway. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. Just a fun way of getting God's Word into your life. And then finally, that question of who. You know, every time we talk about family, there's a part of us that as a staff, that we're a little bit concerned because somebody may think, well, I'm not part of family. And as we're looking into the family church, what we really want to emphasize is God doesn't want any of us to do Christian life alone. And I would encourage you, if you don't have a spiritual family that is nurturing you day by day, week by week, check on the connection card for Group Link so that we can get connected, so that there's a who's asking us, what did you find in God's Word this week? What treasure did you find? How did it convict you? How did it comfort you? With that, let's close in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you for the incredible gift of your word. It's there for us in so many different ways. Forgive us for allowing the unimportant to crowd out what is most important for us, our relationship with you. Help us to delight in your word, as the psalmist says. Help us to trust that you will prosper us as you know best, as we delight in your word, that you're watching over our way. And we pray especially for our brothers and sisters in Christ who may not feel like, you know, this is too hard and I can't do it. So just pray, Lord, help each one of us to get this pattern started. That we delight in your law and gospel, your promises of forgiveness in Christ. And we meditate, we just think about your promises and your guidance day and night. Let each one of us be blessed in that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand, and I'd invite you to join in the Nicene Creed.